So, that's a ripper, isn't it? I need to open up in prayer to unsee that. Okay, so Lord, it's a lot. Oh Lord, Lord, thank you that you're here. Lord, we just thank you for your word. I just thank you for the manifestation of the kingdom to confirm your word. We thank you, Spirit of God. We just thank you for that you're present. We thank you you're going to touch many, many lives today. And I just thank you for that fresh oil that is available to those who choose to obey the King of Glory. And we just thank you, Lord God, to obey is better than sacrifice. We thank you that today you want to encounter us with the sword and also with the oil. And we thank you that your love endures and your mercy endures forever. We bless you. Bless your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I do this a lot, have a microphone in my hand and talk. I was sharing an Airbnb with Jimmy and then Gideon and Catherine came in, and I'm in my pajamas and having a coffee, and I cannot encounter the Holy Ghost until I'm caffeinated. It's just official. Unless he jumps into a dream, and that's very different. So I'm sitting there sort of like defrosting, and they came in, and they're like going, so, and Gideon goes, so what are you going to talk about this morning? I said, I have no idea. And then they went and picked Jimmy up, and I sat there. I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to speak on today? And then just the word of the Lord dropped on me. And sometimes you will get something where the Lord's going to speak through something you've already communicated somewhere else, but I've never done this. So this is a very, very specific word. With some of the prophetic words that were released this morning, I feel like just closing in prayer and let's go and have lunch. or grace. So what I want to do is, if it's something very, very specific, and there is going to be, there's going to be impartation, activation, contingent on obedience. So we just want to get, you know, God to touch us and feel great. It doesn't work like that, because we're serving an awesome King in a kingdom, and there's a lot at stake. And praise God, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God for that. But also, we've got things we need to do. So what we're going to start with is with the proof text per se that I've been talking about in this conference. If we can start with Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. And it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests. That's not future, that's now. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is huge, because I believe that we know about that verse in Hebrews. I wanted to give you more, but you can't handle it, because you can only handle milk. You should be teachers by now. And we go, yeah, I know that one. That's all connected to kings and priests. And so there's something hidden in the folds of the prophetic scriptures. It says, it says in Romans 16, they're not just scriptures, they're prophetic scriptures. Okay? Because we need to understand them from a heavenly perspective. And so there's more to discover. Even Jesus said, I have so much more to tell you, but you can't bear it now. And so I believe there's enough in scripture that it's not on the surface, it's actually a little bit below the surface that the Lord wants to breathe on and highlight to us, especially for this generation. We're seeing so much happening in the nations. We've got to make sure that we do not have a Babylonian captivity mentality. We cannot have that, where we're just, well, this is happening, and I'm just like a cork tossed to and fro in the ocean, oh, like this. And the Lord says, that is not the case. Is that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. We are called to rule and reign. And we talked earlier, for the first message I shared the other day, there was a lion, and I was in a cage with a couple of lions. Took a picture, and it's because the lion was when they had it as a cub, they raised it with a pack of dogs. So they programmed the lion. The lion thought it was a dog. It took its social cues, its patterns of behavior, its routines from what was around him, and the lion thought it was a dog. And so we've got to be careful that we have not let the enemy, our pain, tormenting spirits, the culture of the world, program us to think like dogs instead of live like lions. We have to. And that can be reversed very easily, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. But today there's a very, very specific directive. And kings are called to rule, to govern, and take dominion. And this is what I'm just sitting there, said, Lord, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, you're going to be talking about kings and rulership. Okay, let's do it. And so I've never shared on this before, so this one's still warm, coming out the oven. And so one of the things on the front end is you got this, you know, amazing King David. Wow, there's more written about King David than Moses, Elijah, and Abraham combined. There's no human that's mentioned more in Scripture than David, other than obviously the Lord. But he was a game changer, and he was a very flawed person. But he actually tapped into something. He had a heart for God. And so what we have is he united the kingdom, and he was able to unite the kingship and the priesthood, because you have the tabernacle of David with the Ark of the Covenant. Then not just that, but God says someone from your physical body will always rule on the throne, always, for eternity, which is a big deal. And Jesus obviously fulfilled that, Jesus, son of David. Then, not just that, he prophetically got the blueprints from the Holy Ghost of the temple. Solomon didn't get them, David got them. So now you've got this youth, and you've got all these challenges, that this competition for the throne. And now Solomon has been crowned king, and he rightly is overwhelmed. And so God visited him in a dream. And God said, listen, ask whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And so Solomon said, as a king, as a ruler, he said, I need a discerning heart. I need wisdom. Otherwise, who can govern or judge these great people? When you see the word, they're almost synonyms per se, is judgments and governing. So we have a wrong concept of judgments, because it says, Lord, your judgments are sweeter to the mouth than honeycomb. They're to be desired than much gold. Yes, much fine gold. And through your judgment, your servant is warned. So we are to desire the judgments and discipline and corrections of a heavenly Father, which proves we are not illegitimate. So Solomon, when you're a king, you're part of some of that. We're not going to go down that pathway per se. But he asked for wisdom and discernment. Now, at our church, and I would say probably my wife was the instigator of this, is our highest pursuit at Field of Dreams is wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing, because when you have wisdom, you qualify to rule. So in an experiential way, when you're in Christ, you're qualified to rule. But there are people who are in Christ that lack wisdom. And, you know, dare I say, and so what happened? God was so pleased with Solomon's prayer. He said, because you haven't asked for long life, but you haven't asked for riches, you haven't asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for wisdom, you will get all those other things plus wisdom. When you ask for wisdom, with all you're getting, get understanding, wisdom is the principal thing. And when you ask for that to govern, it's not just wisdom sitting there like some sort of, like, you know, guru and people coming to you for counsel. It's about governance. When you say yes to governance and you ask for wisdom, you will get everything. And what we have is we have cultures in churches around the world where everything, where people are pursuing everything other than ruling as a king and pursuing wisdom. And they quite often end up with nothing. Because you can preach about breakthrough until the cows come home and you get one $5,000 breakthrough every 5 years, and we're just living on crumbs and we're not living abundant lives. Because we haven't put the king first and his kingdom. And when we put him first, we get all things. And so what we need to do is have a heart to say, I'm called to govern. I'm called to rule and reign and represent you. I'm an ambassador from another dimension. I'm an ambassador of the glory, but I'm not meant to just enjoy the glory. I'm meant to administrate and steward it. So Lord, I'm going to decide to take territory and govern, but I need wisdom. And you go, well, where's the, that's great, that's Solomon, it's the old covenant, it's not relevant. No, no, it's completely carried over, because when Jesus speaks, remember, up to this point, until he gets transferred across to the Gentiles, because we're now the seed of Abraham, okay? And it says that in Galatians 3, very, very clearly, because Jesus fulfilled the Mosaic covenant, completely fulfilled and done away with, and we have the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant fulfilled in Christ, and it's eternal. Okay, you say amen if you believe you're the seed of Abraham. Oh, you're not convinced. Say amen if you believe you're the seed of Abraham. Because it's not seeds, it's seed, which is Christ. All right, it's very, very important. Because otherwise you're going, oh, I'm not sure. You've got to be fully convinced. You've got to be fully convinced. So then we're called to rule and reign. And so when Jesus is talking to his Jewish audience, is that there's a lot of assumed knowledge. They were coming off the back end of 400 quiet years prophetically, and Jesus is speaking to them with a lot of assumed knowledge, and then he says something interesting. He says, do you know what? Do you know what the pagans or the Gentiles or the heathen do? They're obsessed with provision. Obsessed. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? And so they're obsessed. And Jesus says, listen, this is not advice, by the way. It is a prophet, the mighty Logos incarnate, but a prophet speaking the very, very wisdom and words of God. This is not you take under advisement. This is something you do. And so if we can put up Matthew 6:33, it's very similar to Solomon's prayer. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So what you have, it's not just to seek God, it's his kingdom connected to rulership and righteousness. If you put that first, you will find so much blessing through that level of agency. But when we refuse to put the kingdom first, we get obsessed with our needs and our feelings, and consequently, we might not be bearing as much fruit as God has ordained us to. The Lord says to you today, you didn't choose him, but he chose you, and he chose you to a bear fruit, and that fruit will remain into eternity. But we need to know his ways. So we don't just go, yeah, I feel good today, I feel bad today, I might get into this, I'm thinking of going to church, I'm not so sure, maybe I'll go fishing, whatever. And that's what we tend to do. What the Lord's saying is that the kingdom is real, and it's more certain than the sun coming up tomorrow is that we're going to stand before God and give an account for our life. And we will give an account for our stewardship. We've got to make sure that we're more connected to the kingdom and its values than we are the land of the great white cloud. We have to be more connected to the kingdom. I'm very, very Aussie, very Australian, but I identify way more with the kingdom, way more. Way more. I love Australia and I'm grateful God's put me there, but boy, you know, Australia's got issues. And so I'm not meant to be part of the issue, I'm meant to be part of the solution. And so this is what we have here. God says, he says, if you realize you're a king, you're going to be answerable to the King of Kings. And if you seek that first and put and make wisdom to govern, understanding to rule, knowledge to take territory, what happens is you find it opens so much favor over your life. Now, remember this. We don't like hearing this, but I'll tell it anyway. I've seen so much blessing in my life, and I've been able to lay a hold of. They go, Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler. And, And he was more into his riches, obviously, at that stage, and I won't go into that. But then Peter goes, Lord, you see that we've left everything and followed you. Yeah, a couple of worn-out boats and a few fish. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, anyone that leaves families, businesses, lands, etc., for the kingdom will receive 30, 60, and 100-fold in this life and the life to come.
With persecutions.
And so, we always they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimonies.
And they did not love their lives unto death.
And so, so what you have is if you are able to repent and make the right adjustments and continually till it gets in your subconscious, you're going, I wasn't sent here for me. I was sent here for the Lord. I have seen spectacular provision over my life. I live for God. I don't live for money. But I see a lot of money. And I live a debt-free life, and I fancy living for money. It can get a little bit mammony, right? And so, but God can give you someone $1 billion like that. You've got to understand He owns the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Why are we wasting our time trying to, in Australia, we call it the great Australian dream, just owning your own home. I'm all right, Jack. The world can go to hell in a handbasket as long as I've got my quarter acre. What a load of junk. That's called idolatry. That's actually called idolatry. And the Lord wants to elevate us past that because He goes, I want to give you everything. Now, this is the thing. Does God want to bless me? Okay, obviously we haven't read the scriptures if that's our question. Because it says in Luke 12:32, it is the Father's delight to give you the kingdom. Everything, all things are yours. So when we pursue the kingdom, pursue His kingdom and His righteousness, your heart starts to open up. And then things start to happen. And so what I want to do, I want to give a little bit of background, is this. I absolutely love the glory. I love the presence of God. I love all the, very much a marker in my Christian experience was when that doco came out called The Finger of God. Who's seen The Finger of God? Loved it. People getting gold dust, oil, miracles, encounters. I love it. I love the prophetic. For me, it's one of the most exciting things in the kingdom because it's just there's so much creativity attached to it. We've seen amazing things. I'm a worship leader, and I've been unretired recently, and so because what happens is that. When you're leading worship, you're not just getting up there and making some, leading people. You're standing in a gate. And there's weight on the gate. And so if you can't handle the weight of the gate, like this. And so I've had to come back into that gate and by the grace of God, the Lord's anointed it and blessed it. But we've seen incredible things. We've seen, we had a conference once and the glory just came in. Now, we had all of our ushers, they're all wearing these black tops. We had, I was standing on the different doors, and we had maybe a dozen of them, and people worshipping, and then I just see all these ushers running for the exits. I'm going, what the heck is going on? And then all of a sudden, people just getting smashed by the power of God. And what happened was, is it people thought the building was on fire, but what they were smelling was the incense of supernaturally in the spirit. They all smelled it at the same time, and people said it smelt like a bushfire, but very sweet, which is incense. We've seen that stuff happen. We, in regards to the glory, we had a woman who, and I love this stuff, and this atmosphere is just changing a bit, praise the Lord, that we had a woman who, now I want you to be encouraged by this, and be encouraged by the end of the story. So just hold it, hang in there. Just hang in there. Woman in our church had a heart problem. Believed God to heal her for years. And contending. And then I'm out at dinner. I get a message here that she's just dropped dead in her lounge room in front of her husband and her son. And then all of a sudden, we prayed for her. And then, you sort of drop everything and you're in a situation. Well, anyway, long story short is that We found out that she'd been dead for 25 minutes. 25 minutes. And so what happened, we know, I think after maybe 2 to 5 minutes, you stop the oxygen supply to the brain, you're going to get, you know, brain damage, vegetative state. So what happened was she's in hospital, life support, you know, they're probably going to switch it off any moment. And I said, we're going to pray for her. Now, in the morning, we prayed for her, and it was felt a bit like, you know, a lot of us, not much of God. I know you guys are different. We just experienced that. You guys are different. This, what we did the second service, we just worshipped and worshipped and worshipped, and then the cloud came. And I remember, name's Jeanette. I go, Jeanette, come back. That's all I did, like this. Now, this is what's really interesting. You know, I don't know if how hot it gets here in summer in Australia. Sometimes when you're walking in summer, you go to touch the car door and it gets a spark. Yeah? I went, Jeanette, come back. I felt a spark come out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, that's pretty wild. The next day, they're freaked out. She's completely come back, completely new brain, new heart, no blockages. I mean, I love this stuff. And they're calling the miracle woman. She got everything, tests and all sorts of stuff. And so I love just the touch of the Lord, and I like manifestations of the glory. I love it. However, what we're finding is that constantly, because people aren't walking out the full counsel of God, we're finding we constantly need encouragement. Why is that a problem? And I'll tell you why. How much encouragement do we need to one day eventually get courage? Because we just keep doing the same thing, and I need courage. I need no. Stop asking for encouragement. The true encouragement will come through the Spirit of God. But we can't prop up people who are just not walking in God's full counsel. And what's at stake? Just your country, just freedom, just your kids not having the freedoms you had, slavery system, you know, all this stuff. There's so many things happening in Australia that no one voted for, because the politicians are just part of a line of command. That's it. And then, like this. And so we are meant to be ruling. We are meant to be ruling. And so what we've got here is, I don't want to drill down on it, because I want to give you some examples. But we need to be in the river. Can someone say amen? We need to live in the river, and we need to be anointed. But one of the major reason it says that, and we won't put that, don't put this up. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's called me to preach the good news. That's the major reason. That's what Jesus read in the book of Luke in the synagogue. And they went, yay, He's here. No, they try to kill Him. And so basically, is this, if you want to keep it flowing, you can only keep what you give away. You only can keep what you give away. Like the widows with the jar of oil. And this, I know this is the word of the Lord, because it just came to me so strongly. And this is what I want to say to you. I love the glory. I love prophetic encounters. And I know sometimes, because I'm about to go to Venezuela and Colombia. We're probably going to see 10, 20,000 people come to Christ. This is what I do. But I understand sometimes you've got to wear your armor. Bear with me. I'm saying this with no foreknowledge, but I work with evangelists. And evangelists, sometimes when there's a presentation, you've got to win souls, it can feel hyper militant and robotic and mechanical. I understand that. You go, oh, that's not really me. That's fine. It doesn't have to be you. But I love the presence of God and the glory. What I want to tell you today is you can have both. Can someone say amen? Amen. You can have both. You can still be into the prophetic. You can still be a mystic. I don't care. God doesn't care. It just means you're hungry for Him. But you have to give it away. You can, because kings take territory. Kings rule. You don't have to go out there and do street preaching. Why don't you just start inviting people around for dinner that don't know the Lord? Why don't you offer to mow someone's lawn who has demons and just say, why do you want to do this? I just want to bless you. There's so many different ways, but you have to take the gospel out into the highways and the byways. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just love people. It doesn't have to be transactional. You know, you get the people get that like weird, nervous feeling, like you know, sort of like they're witnessing to someone, and they get that awkward feeling. You know, do you want to receive Christ? And they're like, not if it's going to be like that. You just have to love them. You just have to, and when you, we're going to pray for people. God will always touch you if in your heart you've settled that you have the intent to obey. It's not just another touch. Because that'll you know, you drive home and then you fight with your spouse and then, yeah, what happened to the touch? We have to give it away. We're in such an important season. So, people would not believe this, but you've got to take my word for it, is that I had a gripping, my biggest fear was public speaking. Terrified. When we did public speaking at uni, I never turned up, okay? They said, you know, you just got to imagine, you just think about, I was 18. Think about what, just 3 minutes on the thing you're most passionate about. And I'm like, I'm not passionate about anything. Imagine everyone sitting on the toilet. I said, no thanks. All these sort of weird techniques for you to overcome. I just can't do this. Then I came to Christ. And then the word of the Lord is, you're going to preach the gospel. And I'm like, no. Talk about excited and tormented at the same time. And then for me, I actually, do you know where I get my energy from? Introverting, being on my own. So it's sort of like all of a sudden I've got to manage all those things. But I'll tell you what, with all those things, I am so aware that he who wins souls is wise. And I'm always out of my comfort zone. I'm so used to it now, it's no longer my comfort zone. All the time. I never forget when I was a full-time tennis coach and I was like, you know, I'm coaching this guy called Jared. And Jared, he's 16, and the tennis court, he goes, I don't think I'm going to see my 17th birthday. I said, oh, it's a big statement. Why is that? He goes, because I'm going to take my life. I said, well, Jared, you know what's really interesting? It's no coincidence I'm your coach. You know a bit about me. I know that. But I'm meant to coach you because God wants to talk to you. And then it was really funny. He's like this. He's going, and he goes, what's happening to me? And I'm just standing back. It was like a Rodney Howard Brown meeting. I'm standing back. And you know what I was doing this? Just trying not to smile. Meanwhile, there's a couple of guys over there in a rotunda smoking weed, right, off their face. And here's Jerry going like this. And then the glory falls on the tennis court. And he's going, what is happening to me? Just enjoy it, bro. That's the Lord loving you. He gets completely set free. And joins a church, is going youth camp. Like we're talking, you can have both. Love God. Be a priest. Minister to him, but not for you. It's not about you. It's about him. See, you can't get this stuff for you. It's not the economy of heaven. He will allow it for new Christians, just like you allow babies and children to be immature. But he says, it's time to grow up. See, I live an amazing full life, but it's not about me. And I tell you what, I know Jehovah Jireh like nothing else. And so then we have, again, we won't put the scripture up. You guys know this very, very well. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Yay, you've got all authority. Therefore, you go. Whoa, hang on. And so this is why we have to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Because right now, the West... Okay, now I know a lot of things are happening in a lot of countries, but right now the target is the Five Eyes, the West, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, UK, US. They're going down, guys. Do you understand what's taking place? COVID was a dry run, testing everyone's compliance. Are we people or sheeple? And what happens is that the Lord's saying, you come to the King of Kings, and if you believe you're a king, you're saying, how can we fix this? What does this look like? So I believe that I'm a ruler. Not because I've manufactured it, because I've meditated on the fact that I am a priest and a king according to the order of Melchizedek under my high priest, which is Jesus. I was chatting with Janet last night, and for those who listen to the messages, your intercession are, maybe there's not a higher calling. Why? That's what our Lord is doing in heaven. He's making intercession for every single person. He's making intercession for every single person. Holy Ghost. Do you know what I think we're going to do? We're going to pray impartation, but I think we're going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When you pray in the Spirit, now something's going on. When you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the will of God. You're praying the will of God. Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. So we're going to get back to that in a second. So with COVID, we were like, yeah, no pun intended. With COVID. Okay, did you get the point? All right. Hearing and demonstrating. All right. Oh, dear. There's just a frog in my throat and it crossed its legs. No, I'm good. In COVID, I just went, this is ridiculous. And we found out that whenever you see a major thing happening in the world, usually an agenda's been pushed through. It's called a false flag. Okay? And then while this is all happening, they push through, in this country and Australia, abortion to birth. What the heck? How on earth can you justify that on any level? That a child can be murdered on the day of its birth. I believe in California now, you can still take a child's life 28 days after it's born. But it's our responsibility. We are salt. We are light. We're a city on a hill. And you go, well, it's not affecting me or my kids are growing up. Doesn't work like that. While there is innocent blood crying up to the throne, we can pray for revival all we want. It looks like something. Did William Wilberforce go, it's too bad about those slaves. Oh, well, my church is doing all right. This is how it works. It looks like something. His throne is the foundation, is righteousness and justice. And this is what kings do. So I started holding my own political rallies, attended by federal senators, state senators, MPs. I got up there. I remember it was controversial because I'm going to explain something to you. Who's heard of the Overton window? This will help a lot. Okay, not many. That's none. All right. Oh, okay. I thought so. The Overton window is a paradigm where the masses think, okay, the level of knowledge and understanding. And what happens, if you pitch too far past that Overton window, people don't either pick it up or they see it as a threat. And so I remember getting up. See, the prophets aren't meant to be in the Overton window. They're meant to be way ahead of it. They're meant to be seeing what's going to come down the pipeline and then also educate. There is a time to prophesy. There's a time to prophesy and teach. But those are two very different times, right? But what you have is that I would get up there. My first, there was hundreds of people at this rally. I didn't know much about politics. But I'm a king because I'm meant to be speaking into this gate. And I was the last speaker. And I was speaking about mass formation psychosis, which is what's happened, which is a new phenomena that comes under totalitarianism. All these different things. This is very, very interesting. But I got up there and I said, I'm saying, okay, so recently when Joe Biden was installed, and everyone goes, whoa, like this. And now clearly we've seen that election was totally cooked. But they were too far past the Overton window. But we still have to be hearing from God and be able to bring people into a place of, some people call it red pilling, other people call it an edumacation, other people becoming informed. We actually have to be ahead of the curve. We can't be following trends. We're meant to be hearing from heaven. Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? And right now, we actually have to make sure that we are ruling and reigning. And so, I was a new Christian, and I'd be working at a, has anyone heard, I don't know if you have it over here. I was working in a franchise, an Italian restaurant called Faster Pasta. Okay, it's not about, you know, ministers who are quick. Busiest restaurant in Adelaide. And people were really, Percy was on the payroll. I was getting very persecuted. And they were like, what'd you get up to on the weekend? I went to church. You went to church? You didn't do anything with a girl? I said, no. I said, I don't believe in that till, you know, marriage. What? I mean, man, that was just like throwing a hand grenade in there. And they're going, what is your problem? I said, I don't have a problem. I'm just, you know, are you? I said, I'm not. And so I held a line, and a guy comes up to me and goes, hey, do you, his name's Aldo. I've been saved a year, okay? So I'm really, really seasoned. You know, I've done 10 years of Bible college, trained years beyond my obedience. Anyway, and so he goes, do you hear from God? And I go, I do. Can you hear from God for me? No, full Nicodemus spirit, right? You know. And I go, yeah, okay. And then I started seeking the Lord. And every shift, have you heard from God for me yet? I said, not yet. 3 weeks go by. It's an amazing place. The sound of many waters is a little bit like the shower. And so I'm in the shower. The word of knowledge comes. Word of knowledge comes. He comes and he goes, have you heard from God? I said, I have. And then he goes, what did he say? And I went, this is what he said. Oh, my God. Packed restaurant. Oh, my God. And he's going up the stairs with the plates. He goes, I love God. I love God. Oh. Everyone's like, I won such street cred that I now have taken the owner, multi-millionaire, and the manager to a meeting. This is going back a long time. Does anyone ever heard of or remember a guy called Jim Spillman? No? We're talking amazing supernatural. He was connected to Catherine Coleman Baptist. Incredible, incredible ministry. So I bring them to church. And what happens is that the glory breaks out. Bodies falling everywhere. There's a couple of thousand people. And like, come down the front if you want to receive Christ. And so I look to one of them. He's on his knees under the chair, shaking. I said, you want to come out? He goes, I'm too afraid. And I go to turn to the other one. He's already run down the front. 1 year-old Christian. But I stepped out. And God anointed me because I chose to take territory. I remember there's a woman called Rosa. A few weeks later, she just comes up to me. Her face is glowing. And I go, hey, Rosa, how are you going? She goes, Todd, guess what? I said, what? She goes, I did it. I said, we did what? She goes, I gave my life to Jesus. And it's like, you can have the supernatural and the glory and be a soul winner unless we are ruling as kings. Don't do magical thinking. Don't abdicate. If you want to be, there's a couple of things. Your youth can be renewed like the eagles and wait on the Lord. But just think young, act young. There's no retirement. There is no retirement in the Lord. And so this is what's so exciting. When we ask the Lord with the intent to obey, he always touches us. Hallelujah. And so I remember, now, we need grace. I'm not talking about talent here. I'm not talking about just mania. Mania is unsustainable, but we need grace. Now, I run a sizable church, and man, it can just consume your life. And so what happened, I got a visitation in 2012, and I'm looking at real estate on my iPad, and God steps in the room. And it's like the anointing. And I'm like, oh, cool. Okay, put this down. And it just got stronger and stronger, and I just went into this open vision. I saw multitudes, and I heard the Father speak to me, and I could feel the grief I can't describe, and I seeing multitudes, and this is what he said to me, I created all these people to know me, and I am in none of their thoughts. And I went, now I'm in the ministry, I'm busy, it's not like I'm at a loose end. And I just went into such travail, and I'm screaming, crying, groaning. I'm so sorry, Lord. This is the major reason you sent me to the earth, is to be a king. and to take territory for your kingdom, not to get comfortable. We've got to be, I'll talk about this at the end. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We've got to be honest with ourselves. And we've set that the barometer in the West is seeking comfort. And God says, don't seek comfort, seek peace. In the world, you're going to have pressure, right? And then once you've the comfort runs out, it's like manna. You just keep seeking comfort, and next thing you know, 10 years have gone by. That doesn't make people feel comfortable. No one cares. He wants you to have peace. This peace is beyond understanding. You could be in the middle of a disaster, and you're fine. You're absolutely fine because you're seated in heavenly places, and you know exactly what has to happen. But we can't be about comfort. I'm not saying let's start living an austere sort of a life of chronic deprivation. I'm not saying that unsustainable stuff. But if we make that decision that we are a royal priesthood, and we better start acting like it, and you can have the glory, the supernatural, the oil, the feathers, the visions, the dreams, the encounters with angels. God wants you to have all those things, but then give it away. But then give it away. It's not one or the other. You know, and so last year, I was just saying to Wes on the way here, I think our church would have spent close to $300,000 on soul-winning miracle crusades, right? And we would have seen probably 100,000 people come to Christ all over South America, Africa, and the subcontinent. And so that's, you know, $3 a soul. I mean, like, one of the things I want to say is this. I preached on this at our church last week. It's the parable of the unjust steward, and what we have we are selling a dream that is above and beyond, not above and beyond, but we're selling this stuff around individualism, and it's not about the individualism. It's about the kingdom. It says the sons of this world are more shrewd than the sons of light. It says, take unrighteous mammon and use it in such a way where people will welcome you into eternal dwellings. This is what you have. Did you know the Qatar? I understand they're sitting on a bunch of oil, right? But by the way, New Zealand's a very rich country, as is Australia, and we're ruled by corrupt politicians. They're giving away stuff. Who owns it? It's the people of the land. And we just sit there, that's no good. So what Australians do, I can't believe. We make more money from the tax on beer than giving away our natural gas. But we don't do anything. So it's really not up to the people, it's up to the church. So if you can't think of an ecclesia mentality, you've got to think kings. This is an injustice. Do you know what it actually says? There is much hidden in the ground, the unplowed ground of the poor, poor in mind. And through injustice is much waste. Is that you and I have so much riches, but it only gets unlocked when we see the kingdom. It only gets unlocked when we see the kingdom. We're already blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so last year we saw incredible things. Like our meetings were historic, not because I've got talent, I've got abilities, but I've seen people with abilities and no grace. Who cares? Who cares? Ability doesn't do anything. It's always grace. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. I've just said yes. And I'll tell you what, I've been on the wildest ride for decades. I was in Kenya, and there was this guy who was my driver, and he just felt, you know, he felt a bit flat. And I remember my coordinator's in the back seat. I'm sitting there, and you guys know I interpret dreams, and I see, and I'm just joking. I'm exhausted. It's the end of the trip. You know, at the end of the trip, you just, I don't know why God lifts the anointing like the 2 days out and you just want to be home. You say, Lord, I'd pay a lot of money just to click my fingers and be home, okay? Real full Dorothy spirit. Anyway, so basically, as I'm just sitting there and I just said to my coordinator, I feel Daniel in the car. I said to the driver, okay, do you have dreams? And he goes, yeah, I do all the time. I said, give me a couple. Try me out. He starts telling me, and the Spirit of God comes in the car, and I go, you are a governmental prophet. This is what I'm seeing. Boom, 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 boom. And he goes, really? I said, tomorrow we're going to the government and we're speaking to the representative of the president of Kenya. I said, I want you to get a suit on. You're going to pick us up. We're going to go together. I said, no. I'm telling you. I'm not asking you. And you're going to bring a word. So what happens is we all brought a word. It rocked everybody. And then the guy was so moved. It was amazing. I mean, the spokesperson for the president does regular 40-day fasts. He goes in and out of heaven. He's seen the earth in the future, and he says, insane glory and wealth, purity, holiness, glory. I'm just sitting there going, man, this is amazing. And occasionally he'll send me stuff on WhatsApp, like dreams to interpret. But this other guy's name's Alfie, all right? And Alfie, what we found out is that Alfie stayed in touch. The government stayed in touch with him as a prophet. And then he had a warning dream. There's going to be an assassination attempt on the vice president. And he gave it. And it was true. And they stopped the assassination. See, we're meant to be kings. We're meant to take territory. We're meant to rule. Now, let's just say you go, I don't have the personality of an evangelist. God's not saying that. He's not asking that. I love evangelists and they make me laugh because their peripheral awareness, their lack of peripheral awareness in social situations is quite impressive. I remember I was talking to this evangelist in a restaurant and he's a really loud talker. And he's talking to me like this, you know, like we're on a street corner. And there's people around. You can see people at other tables going quiet, going, yeah, I've really struggled with masturbation. Okay, Bill, please. And it like, just didn't break out of that. Just like, I'm like, yep, yep, great, really good. Let's pray. Let's shut up. And so... And you go, but I'm not like that. Well, that's good. but you can, a heart to rule and take territory, a heart to love people, make the lost your priority in prayer. As we talked about the last few days, get in the presence of God, start praying for people. And so. But maybe, what would say if you led someone to the Lord? Who would like to lead a Billy Graham to the Lord? I mean, come on, because I have. In 2013, I'm in South America. I'm completely exhausted. I've done a world tour with an evangelist. And they've put me in a smallish church in a town called San Juan. And I'm exhausted. And I was like, way more than that. I was like sweating like a dyslexic kid at a spelling bee. And basically... and. Cat. And then, you know, you're exhausted, you're leaving the meeting, and someone, always one person comes up. And you're saying, don't come up to me afterwards. And God comes up and he's like, and through the interpreter, I said, what is he? He wants more of God. And the Lord just says, he needs to get baptized in the Spirit. I said, he needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And she couldn't translate it. She couldn't translate it. She just like she was a good translator. It just broke down. And what happened was, I said, this is my very, very dark heart. Here's someone coming at hunger, and all I'm thinking about is a steak and a glass of Merlot, right? And I'm just, I am so out of there. Elvis has left the building, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, oh, like this. And I said, okay, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when you get home, this is how you pray about it. That's what I said to him. I was toast. And he didn't know. He's like, what? And I went, sit down. And I prayed for him within maybe 30 seconds. I said, brilliant. Awesome. Got to go. I go to a night service. And I thought I'd just been, I had a lovely lunch. I had some a lot of carne, a lot of meat. Some Malbec, it was nice, we climbed up in the Andes Mountains. And I thought, I'm going to go to this large church service and just sit at the back, you know. Anyway, 1,000 people sitting at the back and I hear this Spanish words then Todd Weatherly. And I'm like, what? And people go, stand up. I'm like, and they say more words, they go, come up the front, they want you to minister. Oh, great. Seriously. Praying, it was an altar call, and I can honestly say this altar call, there was more perspiration than inspiration. And what happened afterwards, power of God moved. This guy comes up from the morning and he goes, my brother, I love you. And he's crying, he's hugging me. He's just hugging me. I'm like, this guy really got rocked. Good for him. and then I leave. And so basically, is then what happened is this, is I go back to Australia. 2 years later, I get a text message on, you know, it's always weird when you see pluses and brackets and lots of numbers, and you're going, oh, CIA found me. And it's the message was this. Do you remember coming to San Juan 2 years ago and praying for a man to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I went, actually, I remember that guy. And then it said, well, after you prayed for him, he went straight into a 40-day fast. And since then, he has planted churches, moves in miracles, and is a soul winner in mass crusades. And I'm like, that's amazing. And then the next message was, I am that man. And so I partnered with him in South America. He's the next Carlos Anacondia. In fact, he's the next Claudio Friesen. We do crusades. See, I was so tired. And I was on the other side of the world. But God's there's a yes on the inside of me. He's led multitudes. He sees creative miracles. And so when I speak at his church, the hunger. People get baptized in the Holy Spirit during preaching. Every type of miracle. Hallelujah. You guys okay? We're about to land the plane. You good? All right. Just the roast, just remote control. Put it on low. All right. It's the last thing I'll say, then we'll pray. Holy Ghost. I remember I've gone to Cairns a number of times and do conferences, and we've seen a move of God. And then one day we did a soul-winning crusade in Cairns. We did a soul-winning crusade. So I'm on the plane. The plane's landing. Remember, I've been there a number of times, seen God move. But now I'm there to win souls. And as it's landing, an angel comes walking up through the aisle. He goes, it's so excited to have you here. It's going to be so great. Full on. And I go to Daryl. I go, angel just come and greet me. He goes, I saw him. I saw him too. And like we're talking, God moved powerfully. So you start to work with the angels. They want souls. It's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous. If we want to rule, we can have the glory, but we've got to give it away. And demons will get to know you too. I was like we work hard, me and my wife, and then we rented a nice hotel in the city for a weekend just to have some time together. And we got our bags and with the wheels on it, and we're walking down Rundle Mall. And I could see this guy, the other side of the mall, sort of like this. And I'm looking at him. I don't recognize him. And he's like this. And then we walked off in the distance. And this demon out of him yelled out, Chad! And your effing wife! And we're like, let's go. All right. No. Look at demons. They recognize because you're functioning in a capacity. You want to walk into a place, if you upset people, take it as a compliment. Because they do not want, if in the spirit you could see who you are, if you chose to rule and reign, I'm not saying that's not the case now, but you'd be surrounded by glory light. We're about to go into Venezuela. We're going to the most dangerous part of Venezuela, Colombia. And what happens is that those who are with us are more than those who are against us. My coordinator is crazy. I really want to minister in prisons to the M13 gang. I said, you can do that on your own. And so, she's crazy. But here's the deal. God wants to rule on the earth through you and I. And we have to take that mantle. Because what happens, the glory we love will dry up. It will be a fading glory. Because I'll tell you what right now, he or her who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. This is what we're going to do. In a second, I'm going to pray over you guys. But I want you, in a second, I'm going to get you to speak in tongues. You can stay seated. I want you to speak in tongues in a second. But this, I believe something's being released today. And I'm saying this as your friend and your brother, all right? I'm not trying to boss anyone around, but I know the urgency. It's not a stretch. Can you imagine if everyone in this church led one person to the Lord and discipled them in the next 12 months? We get overwhelmed with the task and we just don't do day by day. Give us our daily bread. We get overwhelmed. The enemy lies to us. You don't have to go out and do street preaching. If that's your anointing, do it. But reach out to people. Love them. Pray for them. You know, you see someone go, oh, I really had this. Now, just this is for me. This. I find it really easy to see healings and miracles when I pray for people who aren't saved. I mean, way easier. I've really been struggling with this. You go, would you like me to pray for it? Yeah, and they're thinking you're going to home on your knees like this. And then all of a sudden you just lay hands and then the power of God hits them. It's just that simple. But here's the deal. In a second, I'm going to get you to pray in tongues. But then I'm going to pray for people. You have to make a decision in your heart. Not for another anointing. You go, I need to repent. I need to repent because I've just not made this my priority. I get it. People are busy and there's financial pressure. I get it. But what happens is this. We're all in the same situation. I've seen God pour out so much provision on my life. I don't pursue money. I don't even think about money. I call it in because I work for the king. There's no poor kings. Ambassadors of a country don't have to worry about provision, but we've got an ambassador. We've got a rule. And this is what he's saying this morning, that there were great prophetic words, but the one about the harvest, it was like we were, you know, reading off the same choir sheet. This is what God's saying. God loves this church. This is a historic, nationally, internationally significant church. But if we don't make the harvest and ruling as kings and priests, the glory, what's it going to land on? People who just want to watch telly? People just sort of like are afraid of the next thing the government's going to do? The government's nothing. Do you know how big heaven is? It's limitless. This earth is like a dot. And when you go up, you spend time with the Lord, you hang out with the Lord, you become like him. And you start to see the earth and it's like, oh, you all look like little ants from up here. Principalities. The armor of God, you're like a transformer. You know? And so this is what we have to do. But we have to, we don't, it's not, God, I need another touch and another anointing. It is, I want to manifest kingship because I am one. Now anoint me for that. And I will win the lost. Now this is what I want to do because I know that we want to land the plane in a second. In a second, we're going to pray in tongues. And if you don't, this is the deal. You're going to ask, I'm going to pray. I'm actually going to pray for, I'm going to lead you guys in a prayer. People get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what happens is that everything you say is made up of one syllable sounds. And when you pray in tongues, it doesn't come from here, it comes from here. But God's not going to put his, the angel's not going to put his hand in your mouth and move your tongue up and down. You start to worship, you feel something happening and you release it out of your mouth. And there's different types of tongues, but there's the tongue, unknown tongues that are designed to edify yourself and pray the will of God. So in a second, I'm going to lead everyone in a prayer, and there are going to be people here. I want you, you're going to sit down, and if you're hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what you're going to do is you're going to put your hands up, and I want you to just start to, you breathe in the Spirit of God, and then just release it out of your mouth. It's really that simple. But what I'm going to do, there's going to be a prayer I'm going to lead everybody in, and I'm going to get you all to start speaking in tongues, and then I'm going to get people to respond to the anointing. You won't have to leave your seats, but I will get you to respond. Who can feel the Lord? Now, this has got sword on it, but what happens, it's only cutting away the stuff that is trying to kill us. We're family, okay? There's no condemnation, there's no accusation, but there's urgency. There's urgency. This is a historic church that is about to go to another level, and this is one of those messages. It's a fork in the road. So I want you to all close your eyes for a second. I know it's getting very serious. I'm taking my jacket off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There we go. There we go. Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And this is what we're going to do in a second. I'm just looking up my band right now. Hallelujah. Just start to focus on the Holy Ghost. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to lead everyone through a prayer, and some of you haven't even been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. Don't be afraid. We're not going to get you out front. Here we go. Let's do this one. Praise God. Praise God. There we go. Oh, Holy Ghost, thank you. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Is this okay? Do I need to move the mic up, or this is okay? Yes, okay. Wonderful. Okay. So I'm going to lead you guys in a prayer. And after we say amen, I'm going to get you praying tongues for a couple of minutes. And then I'm going to get you to respond after that. Remember, when you speak in tongues, you are releasing the river of God from heaven, which is in your belly. You're not just making a noise, it's coming from your belly. And I want you to believe for a new tongue you've never prayed before. Hallelujah. This is an equipping session. Hallelujah. And we're not asking God to anoint us. We are saying yes to taking responsibility in Christ for ruling and reigning. It might be a bit scary. If it's a bit scary, you are on the right track. God is speaking to you because He loves you, and He's calling you to step out of that eagle's nest. Hallelujah. So have your eyes closed. You might want to put your hands out in front of you. And for those who aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, when we start praying, just step out in faith. I want you to repeat this after me. Lord, I thank you that you love me and you are faithful and you have made me. And my design is to be your child, but to be a royal priest. You are royalty and I am royalty. You have sent me to the earth to represent you and take territory, to rule and reign over everything, especially demons. You have called me to work with angels, and I thank you. New Zealand's destiny is to be a holy nation, is to be a first fruits, is to be the tip of the spear. But we need to take force authority in the Spirit. We repent and ask for forgiveness if we haven't done this. And I say yes to ruling and reigning with you. Fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. I want you to start to pray in tongues and put that volume up. Let it come out of your belly. We're going to do this for a couple of minutes. Let it out of your belly. There we go. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, raise your hands to heaven and start to release it out of your belly, out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory! There's glory rising. Just keep praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Keep going. We're about to change it up, but just keep going. Yeah.
Oh, glory. 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 You're saying yes to being a king and a priest. You're saying yes to rulership. You're saying yes to taking territory. You're saying yes to be a representative of the King of Kings. You're saying yes to soul winning. You're saying yes to expansion. Hallelujah. 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 Now keep praying in tongues. I'm going to speak nice and loud. I can see something over your heads in a second. If you believe you're ready, this is not just getting a touch. This is obeying the Lord. You're committing yourself to the Lord. When you're ready, just above your heads is something waiting for you. In a second, I'm going to invite people to stand where they are. You're actually going to be clothed with fresh armor. Fresh armor. But you have to purpose in your heart that you are going to take territory and represent the King. This is not just to watch rugby. This is not just to fish. So in a second, when you say, you're saying, yes, I want to take territory, Lord, I want you to stand up, and there's an anointing waiting. There's an anointing. People are going to get blasted as they stand. You are saying yes to the King of Glory. So whenever you're ready, you respond to the Lord by standing up into that place. It is a new mantle, but it is armor. It is new weapons of war. It is new. It's a new mantle. Holy, holy, holy. There we go. Holy, holy. Holy, holy, there we go. Holy, 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 holy. Glory, glory, glory. Woohoo! Glory. Royal priests. Hallelujah. Kings, kings. Glory, 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 glory. The Lord is a man of war. Hallelujah. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. Hallelujah. The Lord our banner. The Lord our banner. The Lord our banner. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift up your voices a bit longer. Something's taking place in the Spirit. Something's taking place in the Spirit. Loosed in the name of Jesus. Loosed in the name of Jesus. Fire, 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 fuego, fuego, fire, 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 fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Angels ascending and descending. Angels ascending and descending. I want you, you're going to start to move in your new armor. I want you, and I want you to feel this as well, give a wave offering to the Lord. Give a wave offering to the Lord. Just wave to Him and just present your palms to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord. There's a spirit of agreement in this room. Something's going to happen from today. Hallelujah. 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 You guys are going to step out of the boat. You're stepping out of the boat. Hallelujah. Jesus is not in the boat. He's in the water. Jesus is on the water, out. He wants you to step out of the boat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 This is a historic church that is called to go to another level. This is where the cloud is going, friends. The cloud is moving through the harvest place, the harvest fields. The cloud is moving through the town square. The cloud is moving to the tops of the mountains, the gates of the city, the gates of the nation, the gates of the nations. This is where the cloud is going. Hallelujah. And you will continue to manifest His glory, His goodness, His provision. But you've got to follow the cloud. And the cloud is where the harvest is. The cloud is where the broken are. The cloud is where darkness is. The cloud is in the place of government. The cloud is where people are in dark chains of bondage. The cloud is in the bikie gangs. Hallelujah. The cloud is moving, and He's calling His kings to go into that territory and expand. There's a shadow of death over this nation where the cloud needs to invade. The cloud needs to invade to break the shadow of death, to break suicide, addiction, domestic violence, abuse, orphan spirit. The cloud is moving there, friends. The cloud is moving there, friends. The cloud is moving there, friends. You will meet the Lord in the cloud. You will meet the Lord in the cloud. Hallelujah. 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 The smile of heaven is over this church. The smile. I tell you what, if you want to get really drunk really quick, God is smiling at you, but you need to smile back. Stop grimacing. Show Him those lovely teeth. Show Him those teeth, because you're coming into agreement. He is smiling. This is what it says. Let the Lord's face shine upon you. If you want a drink, smile at Him. There we go. People are getting touched. Wonderful. Look at that. You realize that He's smiling at you. There we go. Show Him those beautiful teeth. For some of you, your parents paid a lot of money for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There we go. You can see that you start to relax. Heaven is smiling over this place. Heaven is smiling over you. He's smiling over you. He dances over you. He's singing over you. Glory to God. He's sending you forth. Hallelujah. He's sending you forth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 They looked to Him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. They looked to Him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. Hallelujah. There's been a spirit of commissioning today. A spirit of commissioning today. The Lord says, come up higher. Come up higher. And I will show you the things that must shortly take place. There's a spirit of commissioning over this historic church. Living waters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God doesn't have a giving problem. Sometimes we can have a receiving problem. Hallelujah. You can never think too big. You can never think too big. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for such a move of the Spirit that people will move from other countries to join this congregation. I thank you people will move from the North Island to join this congregation. I thank you for the signs and the wonders. I thank you for the harvest. I thank you for people moving from Australia to join. I thank you, Lord God, people from the South Pacific everywhere, because they hear that the God of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, the God of His people, is actually resident in this place. And we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you people from all over the nations, all over the nations. We just thank you. We see the flags waving. We see the flags waving. We see them before you, Lord God, because, Lord, you are enthroned over this place. You are enthroned. You are enthroned. Thank you for a spirit of commissioning today. Thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful church, this wonderful people. And I just thank you, Lord God. We are lions. We are lions. We are a royal priesthood. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are so good. You are so good. On the count of three, I want you to offer up a shout of praise to the Lord. Make a very loud noise, because God is also in the shout as well. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Awesome. Man, I'm not going to say too much because that's just, you just got to take what you've received. Walk with your commitment you've made. And man, that's good. Wow, that's good. Wow, that's good. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Todd. Father, let this be sealed in us. Let this be sealed in us. Now let this be sealed in us. Just would you say, pray with me. Lord, let this be sealed in us. Let this be sealed in us by the Holy Ghost. Let this be a benchmark that we will not go back from, but we will only move forward with. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, everybody. Go out and have a fruitful life. Be kings and priests in Jesus' name. Amen.